happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
And I'm Ann Northrup. Here we are again.
Here we are again. We should say at some point you've got a special show planned for next week.
We can say that right now. You're going to be gone for a little while, and I will be here with Maren Johns for a couple of weeks. But before we get to that, I'm hosting a very special show next week that is going to celebrate the 30th anniversary of Dyke TV, a very important show from the 90s, early 90s. And I have two of the creators on and a lot of video from Dyke TV. So be sure to tune in next week, and we'll save all of this week's news for the following week.
And you were a correspondent for Dyke TV.
I was.
Okay, so in the headlines this week, with a green light from the reactionary Supreme Court, anti-LGBTQ bigots are now publicly announcing their intentions to discriminate.
It's going to be a wild ride, folks. Seven Republican attorneys general from various states are going after Target for selling clothes featuring drag queens.
And federal judges are allowing Tennessee's ban on trans health care for minors to go into effect pending a court challenge.
Virginia's Governor Youngkin, who is my secret prediction for the Republican nominee next year, is starting his campaign by eliminating his state's education department online resources to prevent LGBTQ suicides.
Speaking of cruel, Governor DeSantis says Florida's economy is booming, but scores of big conferences are canceling, and you might be surprised to hear some of their names.
But one is staying, and that's interesting, too. Democratic North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper has vetoed three anti-transgender bills, but don't get too excited yet. The Republican legislature is ready to override those vetoes.
We have three anti-trans murders to report, including of two people who were not themselves transgender.
Well, there's a provocative tease. In a first, the winner of the Miss Netherlands pageant in the Miss Universe contest is transgender.
In a first for the European Union, Latvia's new president is gay.
We have some gay celebrity divorces to report on.
I'm going to review the gender and race-bending production of Juliet Stevenson in The Doctor.
And Megan Rapinoe, our soccer heroine, has set a retirement date, and Elton John has played his last touring concert.
So we start in the U.S. Supreme Court. You know, there was that horrendous assault on human rights that they've done all month, basically, all year. But they decided to review a federal appeals court ruling that people with gender dysphoria were covered under the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Did you say they decided to review or they declined
no,
to review?
They decided not to review.
Yeah.
By not reviewing the case, the court acknowledges that the ADA protects people with gender dysphoria, including transgender and non-binary people, from being discriminated against on that basis. But the ruling, it's only binding in the Fourth Circuit, Maryland, Virginia, West Virginia, North Carolina, and South Carolina.
It's still, 180 degrees different from what they've been deciding in other cases. And Justices Alito and Thomas are really freaking out about this. The decisions and the dissents are becoming required reading on all these things. But even while they were doing that, which was very good, they are expanding on their decision last week about the Colorado wedding website maker, although I'm not sure she's ever made any website, let alone wedding websites. Anyway, we know that she ruled in favor of the supposed website maker in saying that theoretically, because we no longer have to have facts in a case, just theory, the woman is allowed to refuse to make a website for the gay couple who don't exist because it would involve her expressing her opinion by making a website for the same sex, the theoretical same sex couple. It goes into artistic expression rather than just a simple public accommodation.
Say a lot of people think this is a religious case. She is a religious woman. She cites Christianity, but she didn't cite that in her case.
No, but the justices mentioned it in discussing her freedom of her free speech rights around her religious beliefs. So anyway, we know about that decision. And what happened then was that the Supreme Court solicited a rehearing of a case from Oregon where we remember the Melissa's Sweet Cakes Bakery had refused to make a wedding cake for a lesbian couple, and their right to have the cake made was upheld by a string of courts. And the cake maker was told, no, you can't discriminate against them. Well, now the Supreme Court says, well, let's look at that case again. Bring that case to us. In light of what we've decided about the Colorado website maker, we may just decide that the bakery owner has a right to refuse to make a cake for the lesbian couple because that is expressive and would involve her, you know, being connected to endorsement of this lesbian wedding. Now, this is just going to get out of hand in about 3 seconds, and it's really bad.
But that case has been kicking around since 2013.
Yep.
Melissa wouldn't bake a cake for a lesbian wedding, quoting Leviticus, which she says holds that homosexuality is an abomination. The lesbian couples that they found face constant harassment since bringing their suit.
But not only did she lose, she had to pay a $30,000 fine. And now the Supreme Court says, well, wait a minute. You may have thought that was settled, but we want to revisit it. Now, I just have to take a little side route here. A digression to make my usual complaint about the Women of the View, which decided to have a discussion about all of this and so mangled and misrepresented the issues and the decisions that I wanted to kick in my television set. They never have a guest who's knowledgeable to discuss any of this. They think they know everything. They argue among themselves. They're wrong about the facts. They're wrong about the issue. And it is just, it's malpractice. And someone ought to just bash their heads together to put
it on. Now, but tell them what Whoopi said.
Whoopi said, hey, you own a business? You can refuse service to anyone you want. No, Whoopi. The words public accommodation were never mentioned in this show and this discussion.
Well, the fact is there are many reasons that you can refuse service.
Sure.
If somebody comes in, you know, and is completely obstreperous, would you please leave, sir or madam or whatever? But you can't discriminate on the basis of race, religion, sexual orientation, et cetera, in many places.
Protected classes. You cannot make a decision to discriminate in that general way, and people with disabilities too. You cannot discriminate. And certainly, if anyone should know this, it's Whoopi Goldberg, but no.
Well, I mean, so let's go to what I think is the story of the week in light of the Supreme Court decision on the website case. The owner of a hair salon in Traverse City, Michigan, Christine Geiger, let's get her name out there, she posted on Facebook that she's exercising her free speech rights by excluding some LGBTQ customers. If a human, she says, identifies as anything other than a man slash woman, please seek services at the local pet groomer. You are not welcome at this salon, period. She wrote, this business does not cater to woke ideologues. Now, she says, oh, I have no issue with lesbian, gay, or bisexual customers, but will not support the TQ plus community, whatever, you know. I'm not willing to play the pronoun game or cater to requests outside of what I perceive as normal, as if she is normal.
Oh, another footnote from Whoopi. This is not a problem because what trans person would want to go to this hairdresser? You know, we have for years explained to people that in any town, in any business, they may be the only business of that kind in town. You don't always have a choice to go to others, and or they may not be conveniently located. And the point of opening a business and being a publicly available public accommodation is that you are supposed to serve everybody equally and equally competently.
Yes, you can consider it an extreme example, but a couple of years ago, we reported on a fire department that didn't want to put out a fire at a lesbian household, and they just let it burn to the ground.
What were that would be okay with Whoopi, I guess.
Yeah, it's disgraceful.
And one more in this category, you know, we're happy to see that the hairdresser is getting some pushback on this. But again, you know, there are people who say, well, you wouldn't want to go to that hairdresser anyway. Well, I might. In Tennessee, the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, by a vote of 2-1, unblocked the ban on trans youth health care. There was a decision in place that had invalidated a new Tennessee law forbidding trans youth health care. And the court said, there have been a lot of court decisions or a substantial number of court decisions that says these bans are unconstitutional and cannot stand. And that had been said by a lower court in Tennessee.
By a Trump judge.
Yes, but now the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals says, well, no, actually, we're going to lift that ban or lift that blocking of the ban. They get so convoluted for a couple of weeks while this case proceeds. So the ban can be in place. Then at the end, the decision says, of course, we could be wrong.
Well, they say they want it resolved by September 30th. And of course, this is ought to end up going to the Supreme Court because there are conflicting decisions on these things.
Well, this is the conflicting decision. The other decisions have been unanimously against these bans.
Yes.
And it wouldn't have to go to the heinous Supreme Court if this court had gone along with the other decisions instead of saying, well, we want to do it differently, but we could be wrong.
Also in Tennessee, the law went into effect where you can no longer change identification documents to reflect gender identity. In fact, driver's licenses and other official documents can only reflect designated sex at birth determined by, quote, anatomy and genetics existing at the time of birth. Now, it's unclear what happens to people who have already been allowed to make changes on their documents. It is clear that Tennessee hates its trans residents deeply. And those who love them.
And in Kansas, a judge has ordered a 2-week period of no gender changes on government documents while they continue a fight there over whether or not that is allowable.
Staying with the courts, I was encouraged to see the majority leader, Chuck Schumer of the Senate, pushing to end single judge jurisdictions in federal courts. Right wing uses these. Files these cases where there's only one judge in a particular district. They know how he usually is going to rule on LGBTQ and women's rights, especially, and then get a national injunction, especially in North Texas. He's got 18 senators calling on the judge who decides the rules about these things in the judicial conference to make the change. And he says, if you won't do it, end this judge shopping, Congress can intervene, but that's going to take winning a bunch of elections.
And speaking of politics and elections, one of our favorite governors in Virginia, Glenn Youngkin, has decided to remove anti-suicide information from the state website directed specifically at LGBTQ youth because it is sexualizing children.
Well, yeah, he's doing it because a far-right troll site run by Ben Shapiro, the Daily Wire, basically ordered him to do it. A Youngkin spokesperson, yeah, echoed the party line. This is sexualization of children and against parents' wishes. Governor Gavin Newsom, by the way, is standing by to run for the Democratic nomination, just like Youngkin for the Republican nomination, tweeted that Youngkin is hoping you won't notice that he caved to the Daily Wire and secretly eliminated suicide prevention resources for LGBTQ youth. He's also reinstating Youngkin, which ex-felons get the right to vote. Most will be barred for life. This is the only state to do so.
Well, Florida, DeSantis managed to interfere with ex-felons voting. He rolled that back somewhat. But the Youngkin thing explains something to me. I have been wondering for some weeks or months now what they actually mean by this sexualizing children business, because it seems to pop up in all these strange places. And I finally figured it out in this story. I can be a little slow on some things. Any mention of kids as LGBTQ plus equals sexualizing them, because they are being identified by some kind of sexual identity to them. Well, and that to them is the definition of sexualizing children, merely mentioning LGBTQ plus.
Well, forever we had to fight in the movement because people always, when they thought of homosexual, they only thought of sex. They didn't think of identity. They didn't think of falling in love or you know, anything like that. It was all about sex for them because they're dirty minded.
Well, they have succeeded in wrestling this this phrase into a complete erasure of any mention of LGBTQ plus people.
Well, let's talk about the seven Republican attorneys general who sent a threatening letter to Target stores for selling what they called obscene matter, referring to a T-shirt with a drag queen on it, what Fox News calls Satanist kids' clothes, also attacking Target for helping.
Well, they have little symbols that they define as Satanist.
Yeah. Also attacking Target for helping GLSEN, the LGBTQ education group, which these right wingers say has no purpose. Has a purpose of undermining parents' constitutional rights by supporting secret gender transitions for kids. It's all pretty grotesque, except you can expect more of it from now on until these creeps settle on another scapegoat.
Well, we're the best scapegoat. They've been more successful with once, you know, now that they've gotten the Dobbs decision and succeeded in their minds on abortion and are going lickety-split 90 miles an hour to get it outlawed everywhere they can, we are, the biggest scapegoats and targets.
I want a divorce. But from, you know, place from that kind of governance.
Absolutely.
But in North Carolina, Democratic Governor Roy Cooper did veto three anti-trans bills, but they were passed by wide margins of the gerrymandered legislature controlled by Republicans, so they'll almost surely override him. Cooper condemned the bills as a triple threat of political culture wars and accused Republicans of scheming for the next election at the expense of vulnerable children. A doctor's office is no place for politicians, he said. Activists hope the laws will be struck down in court.
Let's roll through a few other trans-related stories. In Wisconsin, a rural school district in Rhinelander has had to promise to better protect nine binary students. One was seriously harassed by fellow students and teachers, and Rhinelander has begrudgingly agreed to try to do something about that. But in Idaho, students, with the help of Lambda Legal, are suing to stop the new anti-trans bathroom bill that was passed there.
Okay.
In Wisconsin, Mukwenago School District has been ordered to stop harassing an 11-year-old trans girl in the school. She identified as a girl at age 3, was accepted by her family and her friends, has had no problems. But the school has now forbade her to use the girls' restroom.
In Temecula in Riverside County, California.
Temecula.
Thank you very much. There has been a liberal backlash against 3 school board members backed by a far-right pastor, a board that banned critical race theory, social studies material that referenced Harvey Milk. So just 6 months into their term, they face a recall effort and a civil rights investigation by the State Education Department in California. Local
nice.
Democrats are now local Democrats are finally focusing on school board races, which we've been losing terribly. Efforts are underway in Orange County to flip the school board back as well.
I guess we had to hit bottom before people paid attention. In Washington, D.C., however, they have decided to include LGBTQ plus history and in school curricula. That's a good thing.
Looking for my Owen, did you do Sterling, Kansas?
No.
The town's library board fired the library director and her assistant for not being anti-LGBTQ enough. They started with a dispute about a book with a non-binary character, William Allen White's Flight of the Puffin. A board member told the director, hide that book in your desk and don't let anybody see it.
Don't let anybody check it out either.
Also banned any kind of rainbow as a decoration, no less the pride flag. Now, this is Kansas, the somewhere over the rainbow state, you will recall. The board itself is self-appointed. There's a petition to reinstate the librarians. It's gotten 200 signatures, which is probably half the population of the town.
I think the entire population of the United States should be mandated to read The Handmaid's Tale to figure out what's going on here and what they have to look forward to. In Mississippi, libraries have been ordered to not let anyone under 18 use databases that include LGBTQ books or references. They can't use the databases to look up books.
Get a VPN and look it up.
Yeah, do it at home. Do something.
All right. I want to circle back a footnote to the Fascist Moms for Liberty conference in Philadelphia last week.
Please.
The other big conference at the Marriott was the Federation of Jewish Men's Clubs, which wasn't happy given their support for LGBTQ rights and the fact that the moms worked to ban books on the Holocaust, including the Diary of Anne Frank. So some of the Jewish men canceled, didn't go. There was just no way I could have any fun, one of them said. But the two groups mostly peacefully coexisted. At the conference, Tiffany Justice of the moms group said, one of our moms in a newsletter quotes Hitler. I stand by that mom. She said, never apologize. I guess that means means never having to say you're sorry. They taught their members at the conference how to take over school boards. Campaign having a lot of success with a lot of right-wing money, how to disrupt school board meetings by bombarding them with complaints. A lot of the money is coming from the Heritage Foundation and the Koch brothers connected, Parents Defending Education.
This is a well-organized movement, and it got itself organized very, very fast, and it is also inspiring a lot of individuals to be vigilantes in these situations. Of course, we do our own versions of this over the years. I often think that movements leapfrog each other, first the right, then the left, then the right, then the left.
The pendulum swings. The pendulum swings.
Shall we swing down to Florida and DeSantis, as Mika Brzezinski enjoys calling him these days?
So, yes, I mean, you know, he defended his anti-LGBTQ ad that has drawn such derision. Get what he said. Identifying Donald Trump as really being a pioneer in injecting gender ideology into the mainstream, where he was having men compete against women in his beauty pageants, I think that's totally fair game because he's now saying the opposite. Of course, trans contestants at the time did not compete in Trump's Miss Universe pageants. He just said, he told Barbara Walters once he was open to it.
No, he held a press conference with one who had applied to compete. He did open up his contest. More on that later.
Right. But, you know, this video portrays himself as a warrior against the LGBTQ community. We didn't talk about that video a lot. I mean, he used clips of Trump saying something modestly pro-gay, but he was talking about the Pulse massacre in your state, Governor DeSantis. I mean, come on.
There was a moment. You remember when Trump held the pride flag upside down and talked about, you know, appointed Rick Grinnell and
Maggie Haberman fell for that in the New York Times. But
absolutely. He was a total hypocrite and a liar and was meanwhile cutting out every regulation in the government that did anything good for LGBTQ people. But he was mouthing that stuff, and DeSantis is now using that to condemn him.
But, I mean, DeSantis, in this ad, this crazy ad, he has a quote on the screen that Florida laws literally threaten trans existence, followed by a montage of buff men flexing muscles. Brad Pitt is a Greek warrior, and DeSantis with lightning coming out of his eyeballs. I mean, it's a little muddy.
Well, it's very homoerotic to begin with. It is. All these, as Pete Buttigieg pointed out, all these oiled up, buff men who he's identifying with. But it's just a horror show. But it had an effect because it got everyone's attention and got people continuing to talk about him at a time when he's worried that he's losing steam.
Yeah.
But of course,
he's losing conferences. We know this. Now, again, DeSantis will go on TV and say, our economy is booming. We have the greatest influx of migrants coming to, people coming from other states to live here. But Broward County alone has lost half a dozen conventions due to the fascism of DeSantis and the Republican legislature. The Masons canceled the conference. The Masons, the National Family and Community Engagement and Community Schools Conference, canceled 2,000 rooms. A Mississippi-based organization for healthcare workers just canceled, citing DeSantis and heading for Denver. American Specialty Toy Retailing planned 3,000 people in Fort Lauderdale, and they're headed for Milwaukee. The list goes on and on and on and on.
It goes on and on. It's still a small percentage of all the conventions that do go to Florida. And then there was an interesting dilemma about the National Education Association convention, which is the National Teachers Association. And they were scheduled to go to Orlando. And a debate ensued about whether or not to go to Orlando and do some work there or to pull the conference out of Orlando. And the teachers this is Randy Weingarten's organization, isn't it? The NEA?
No, the NEA is bigger. She's the American Federation of Teachers.
Thank you. So the NEA debated this, and they talked to teachers and teachers' organizations in Florida. And the teachers in Florida said, come here. Do not take your convention out of here. And so the NEA Representative Assembly kept the conference in Florida, voted on a resolution, which the LGBTQ caucus of the NEA thought, this won't be a big deal. Overwhelming support for LGBTQ issues and teachers from the whole NEA and to support LGBTQ students and teachers nationally and to support the teaching of Black history And the report was that the NEA convention became this huge rainbow event and little receptions that the LGBTQ caucus used to have with just a few people showing up were suddenly the total thing to go to. And hundreds of people showed up and they held dances with the caucus. And it was a huge, huge success to bring all that to Florida and to those teachers in Florida who need that support and training and all of that. So there are a number of ways to go with this. And certainly it's great to punish Florida by taking stuff out of there. But it's also important to do the work there. And as Nadine Smith of Equality Florida says, and so you have to do both.
Well, of course, some people are leaving and some people have to leave. I mean, one trans activist, yes, Lucy Love, said she's moving to North Carolina because the most trans-friendly states, California, Oregon, Washington, and Vermont, are so expensive. You could move to upstate New York. It's not that expensive up there. She had her car and property vandalized four times in Tallahassee. Now, the out-gay mayor of Fort Lauderdale, Dean Trantalis, wishes people would stay and help with the fight, but understands why people feel threatened, because they are threatened.
Exactly. All right. Can we run through a few other political stories worldwide? I mean,
In Torrance, California, the mayor, George Chen, there refused to recognize Pride Month and labeled LGBTQ identity as a choice of lifestyle. The first year since 2014, the city didn't mark Pride. Chen did issue a proclamation to honor pickleball, which is apparently not a lifestyle choice. To counter the mayor, the Downtown Torrance Association hung pride banners where vandals couldn't reach them and drafted their own pride proclamation ratified by all 50 members. But Chen and the city removed the banners, and Chen and the city council refused to condemn anti-LGBTQ graffiti on city bridges.
Wow. But in Calexico, California, which, as the name implies, is near the border of California and Mexico, they have an out trans mayor, Raul Urena, who raised a pride flag. A nuisance protester tried to interrupt all of this, but was controlled. And everything's up to date in Calexico.
In Salt Lake City, police are investigating vandalism of at least four LGBTQ pride flags, some sliced in half, one burned to ashes. They're asking for help from neighbors if they have surveillance footage. Project Rainbow, Utah, which planted 4,000 flags in people's yards, said that 10 to 20% get stolen and that there's been an uptick this year. In mid-June, Mayor Monica Zolyansky installed one at her property to oppose the vandalism. One stolen flag was returned with a note that said, "Sorry."
Really? All right. Good news in New York State, where the out gay former member of Congress, Mondaire Jones, is going to run again to regain his congressional seat. Since that's mostly his old district, there's some redistricting that got him in trouble there. And Sean Patrick Maloney, who took the seat, is out. I would think he has a decent chance.
Yeah. So now, you know, speaking of our numbers, you know, we're hardly, we tell you about all the LGBTQ people who get elected and are running. You know, you look at a poll from Brown University, they're looking at almost 40% of the student body there being not straight, according to a survey. Now, this is Brown University. But even the general social survey tracking American sexual orientation since 2008 found that 34% of adults who identify as LGBT reported having at least one same-sex sexual partner in the last 12 months, and 59% having at least one opposite-sex partner. Complete flip from 2008.
Well, I've always relied on your assessment, which you deny making, that 90% of the population has some capacity for same-sex attraction.
Sure, and people are just waking up to it. That's why we call it woke. In Queens, New York, out trans Amelia Dacaudin, 24 years old, a Democratic district leader already. There she is challenging scandal-plagued Assemblymember Juan Ardila after two women accused him of sexual assault. A lot of people have been calling for him to resign. He won't do it. The district covers Long Island City, Sunnyside, Maspeth, and Ridgewood. These used to be pretty conservative areas. She'd be the first out trans legislator in Albany and one of four Democratic socialists there.
And more and more trans people are running for office, and that, I think, is making a difference, too. But speaking of scandal plagued, in Florida, State Senator Fabian Basabe, a Republican, is under attack because he's had two sexual harassment complaints. Now, he's someone who, I don't know if his sexual orientation is under debate, but he actually has been a more lefty Republican in Florida. But
he voted for the Don't Say Gay law. The local pride groups went after him with a chorus of boos and jeers.
They're really going after him now to get someone to beat him in the next election.
He has given different answers about his sexual orientation over the years.
Yes. All right.
The Methodists, by the way, 6,000 congregations, a fifth of the U.S. total, have received permission to leave in the schism over theology and the role of LGBTQ people in the church. The departed are joining something called the Global Methodist Church, mainly in the South and Midwest of the United States. The United Methodist Church is now looking to allow same-sex marriages and ordination of LGBTQ people. It has 6.5 million members in the United States and as many around the world.
And they will vote next year at their 2024 general conference on those issues of approving same-sex marriage and ordination of LGBTQ.
In Pageland, South Carolina, a trans male, this is what a horrible story.
Yes.
Jacob Williamson, 18 years old, murdered. Police discovered his body days after he arranged to meet a man online and was found alongside a roadside. They have two suspects in custody, Joshua Newton, 25, and his girlfriend, Victoria Smith. No motive, obvious motive, the police say. This is the 14th trans or gender nonconforming person killed in the United States this year.
Jacob, who looks like a real cutie, worked at the Waffle House and had been rejected by his family. And in Richmond, Indiana, Michelle Dion, 59 years old, a Black woman, cancer survivor, killed by a neighbor with a machete who thought she was trans. They had had some petty disputes between them as neighbors, and the neighbor became enraged, thinking this was a Black trans woman who was mistreating him, and killed her. And in Portland, Oregon, Colin Smith, a straight man, or a cis man, excuse me, I don't know his sexual orientation, was stabbed to death while trying to protect a trans woman friend of his.
I mean, this is the hate that's being whipped up around the country and around the world and has put us all on our guard.
Michelle Dion on the left, of course, and Colin Smith on the right.
Somebody else.
Of anti-trans hate while not being trans themselves.
Somebody else we lost this week, actor Jeffrey Carlson, has died at the age of 48. He played Zoe Looper, a trans character on All My Children in 2006. Cause of his death is pending. On Broadway, he was Marilyn in Taboo, the Boy George musical, and Young Billy in Edward Albee's The Goat, or Who is Sylvia, where the character of his father had an affair with a goat. But that was Bella. So I saw him on stage and, of course, on television.
Well, me too. All My Children got a GLAAD Award in 2006 for having a trans character 17 years ago. Impressive. And sorry that Jeffrey is gone at such a young age. In Portland, Oregon, they will name a downtown square for the legendary drag performer Darcel the 15th, whose death we noted and mourned a few months ago. And in and Megan Rapinoe, the huge heroine. There she is in a famous pose after scoring a goal. She has announced she will retire from soccer after the upcoming World Cup at the end of this month that's being held in Australia and New Zealand. She was, of course, aggressively out, as someone said. She refused to go to the Trump White House to celebrate the team's win in a previous World Cup. And so he called her, you know, a loser and a commie and whatever. she took a knee for Colin Kaepernick. She is very, very famously a great activist, and she has promised to continue her activism after her soccer career. And she is married to the basketball star Sue Bird.
And Megan is 38 and has been suffering from some injuries lately, has been on the bench.
Yes, but you know, there's just no one like Megan Rapinoe. She is the greatest.
Indeed. International news?
Yes.
The Dutch Prime Minister, Mark Rutte, R-U-T-T-E, is stepping down after 13 years in office as his coalition fell apart in a dispute over immigration policy. He told Hungary's fascist leader, Orban, in 2021 that he should withdraw an anti-LGBTQ law or get out of the European Union, stunning other European Union leaders. He also made billions of euros in EU stimulus funds conditional on the rule of law practices targeting Hungary's erosion of its justice system.
Also in the Netherlands, Ricky Coley, a trans woman, has been crowned Miss Netherlands 2023. There she is in the red dress with the sash and being crowned. That is part of the Miss Universe pageant, which is now owned by a trans woman from Thailand who has promised to expand the diversity of the pageant. But and there is a really stunning picture of Ricky Coley. Trump did approve the participation of trans women in the Miss Universe pageant when he owned it some years ago. And we reported that at the time and showed pictures of him with trans contestants. So DeSantis has that right. Now, of course, Trump now wants to eliminate all trans people and LGBTQ people, too.
Somebody else who wants to eliminate us is Uganda's anti.
Well, wait a minute. Wait, before you do that, just Miss Bhutan this year, Tashi Chodan describes herself as gender fluid and queer. So the Miss Universe pageant is just going all over the place.
Getting with the times, unlike Uganda's anti-LGBTQ dictator.
Yeah.
Museveni for almost 40 years there. And his son, they are accused at the International Criminal Court in The Hague of crimes against humanity for their brutal crackdown on the opposition, including torture and killings. Museveni tries to distract, of course, from his crimes by scapegoating LGBTQ people with some of the most anti-LGBTQ laws in the world.
But in Greece, the prime minister who's just been reelected, and who is not, you know, a raging lefty, has promised that they will legalize same-sex marriage sometime. They have civil partnerships now. He's regarded as a center-right politician. People are surprised that he would make this promise, but he has.
Now, Spain is having a snap election on July 23rd, and the right-wing Popular Party is promising, if they win, to roll back the left-wing government's new law letting you change your gender on your ID card by making a statement. That party would need the far-right Vox Party to govern, and they're even more anti-trans. Some trans people are talking about leaving the country if the right prevails. Citing curtailment of medical services and the rising tide of hate in Spain.
it used to be a very progressive country, and it has turned a corner in recent years.
And it used to have Franco. In Japan, the
Supreme Court... Still dead. Still dead.
In Japan, the Supreme Court ruled that it is illegal to restrict a trans woman from using the restroom of her workplace that aligns with her gender identity, a unanimous decision. And activists see this as a ray of hope because the government is dragging its feet completely on LGBTQ rights.
And there's a ray of hope in India, where we're still waiting for the same-sex marriage ruling expected by the end of the year. The court has ruled that the law criminalizing eunuchs is unconstitutional, and that they should be eligible for all the government support payments that for which they should be eligible. So,
well, the law is very stigmatizing. It allowed police surveillance, allowed arrest without a warrant of a eunuch, complete anachronism. And though it's making a comeback in Florida.
Yes. In France, the Minister for Equality has issued a new plan to deal with homophobic violence. She has published this plan that would do universal training of police forces, punish sports stadium homophobia, give more money to LGBTQ community centers and create more of those community centers, more training for health and education officials to combat bullying, and update school forms to allow designation of same-sex parents.
Well, send her to the country of Georgia, and Tbilisi, large mobs stormed the Pride Parade, forcing its cancellation. The stage was destroyed, rainbow flags burned, bars looted, and attendees evacuated.
Really hideous. Very, very
aggressive. These are religious people who do this.
Yeah, exactly.
In the name of their God.
And in Indonesia, they had to cancel a regional LGBTQ event because of threats of violence like that.
But take heart, in Latvia, they swore in Edgar Rinkevich as president, the EU's first out gay head of state. Now, we've had a gay prime minister in the European Union, but this is a head of state. There he is.
And the European Court of Human Rights has ruled that athlete Caster Semenya has been discriminated against by the World Athletics rule that required her to reduce her natural testosterone levels in order to compete in running competitions. The rule is still in effect until the Swiss Supreme Court reconsiders its ruling that endorsed the rule, but the European Court of Human Rights has sent it back to that Swiss court for reconsideration. But it's unlikely she will get a positive ruling in time to compete in Paris in 2024 next year. And the World Athletics Organization is not budging on its standards for testosterone levels for women.
Yeah, just for women. There are no testosterone tests for men, like you can have too much and you need to scale it back. They don't do any of that.
Nor do they require tall basketball players to cut off their feet.
They don't.
No.
The trial of Kevin Spacey for four sexual assaults in London is well underway. Lots of testimony from the men. It's hideous stuff. He was described as a vile sexual predator. But it goes on and on and on. So they ran what he said to the police when they interviewed him. He said, "I'm totally baffled by these things."
Well, I do. I remain confused. Men accused of sexual assault 100% say, no, it was consensual. So my question is, do they really believe that?
You know, I mean, Harvey Weinstein believed it. It was with women, though.
Well, whoever it's with, they, I mean, I know about their sense of entitlement, but I keep wondering whether they really truly believe that whoever they are assaulting, male, female, trans, whatever, actually wants it. Have they talked themselves into this? Are they oblivious? What's the story here? Because we have to do something about this, and we have to know what's going on in their heads to make any progress on this, I think.
No means no. All right, AIDS news?
Yes.
There's an acute shortage of one type of penicillin, Bacillin LA, a long-acting injectable antibiotic. Pfizer says there's been a rise in demand because syphilis infections have risen, and that it's going to take them a year to ramp up production 50% to meet the demand. So take it easy, everybody. There's a lot of syphilis out there and not enough drugs to treat it.
And there are other antibiotics in short supply, and of course, Ozempic is in short supply for people with diabetes because so many people are using it to lose weight.
Oh, and did we note this in the debt ceiling bill? $400 million was slashed from the CDC's budget for STI prevention.
The military needs more money.
Well, speaking of which, the Republicans are trying to festoon the Defense Authorization Act with all these anti-LGBTQ and anti-abortion amendments to it. So watch out for that.
Well, I am very curious about how they're going to stop Tommy Tuberville's assault on this. What do they have that they can get him to stop? They've got to start threatening him with something, and I don't know what it is, because he has no reason to back down on this.
He's a white supremacist.
Although he has no idea what the definition is.
All right. Entertainment news in our last minutes?
Sure.
Ricky Martin and his husband, Juan Josef, have announced that they are divorcing after 6 years, amicably. They've got kids to get two together, and Ricky has two more.
From a previous relationship. And also, Billy Porter and his husband, Adam Smith, are divorcing after 6 years. Evidently, six is the new seven. It used to be the seven-year itch. Now, gay men are ahead of the time. They're divorcing after six.
Well, they got married, back in 2017, because right before Trump was inaugurated, because they thought they were going to lose the right. So they did it.
Also described as amicable. We wish them well. But in better news, Da Brat, who is a rapper whose show Brat Loves Judy, you may or may not be familiar with, Da Brat, at age 48, has given birth to a baby boy. They harvested eggs from Judy on the left, Da Brat on the right, and fertilized the eggs through IVF from an anonymous donor of sperm. They tried this one time and did not succeed. This is the second try, and now they have a beautiful baby boy.
I went to the Park Avenue Armory to see the great Juliet Stevenson and the London import, The Doctor, created by Robert Icky. It's one of the most intense performances I've ever seen, as Stevenson, as an eminent doctor, deals with the fallout of denying, for medical reasons, a Catholic priest's demand to give the last rites to a teen patient who has not requested it. It's a problem play in so many ways, complicated by non-traditional casting, women playing men, whites playing blacks, and vice versa. It's kind of an absorbing take on how our identities do and do not affect our decisions. It's very intense.
So you're recommending it?
Yeah, I wasn't going to go, but I got a $10 ticket, and I went, and I was absorbed.
Is it one of the Park Avenue Armory's six-hour extravaganzas?
No, it's only about 2:45, I think. It's long, but it's, again, it held my interest. I didn't quite agree with everything that was going on. That's okay.
It's a nice space, too, to see things. It's this sort of, monumental space, so...
Yeah.
I always like that there. Elton John has played his last concert, according to him, although we've heard this before. It was in Sweden. He says he has experienced 52 years of pure joy performing 4,000 plus shows. And on his final tour, he made $900 million in ticket sales, which at the moment is the record, although soon to be eclipsed by Taylor Swift. who I found out last night having dinner with friends, one of them has become a total Swiftie.
All right.
Really? I mean, I like some of her music, but this friend is quite obsessed.
For those of you in Provincetown or going up there, the Provincetown Playhouse is having the Fantastics with the Gay Lovers twist on it. That's going to be playing there till August 31st.
The Emmy nominations for TV were announced this week. They're not the gayest thing in town these days, but
the world news.
Well, I'm not going to go down the whole list of every LGBTQ plus nominee, but White Lotus got a lot of nominations, including Jennifer Coolidge. That makes me, and Mike White, the creator and director. That's very good. I think of The Crown as a gay production, even if there's nothing in it, but that got some. Fire Island, the Bo and Yang movie, got like one, maybe two. RuPaul's Drag Race is still being nominated. He could end up with, you know, the world's greatest collection of Emmys in a few more years. Top Chef, Queer Eye, John Oliver, who I think is about the most pro-LGBTQ person on television, got nominated again. Cherry Jones for a guest appearance. Nathan Lane got nominated. And so did Niecy Nash-Betts got a nomination. So we're still there, but Succession is just flooding all the Emmy nominations, which I couldn't watch after its first episode. I hated the people so much that I just couldn't do it, but it's become so popular. I think, well, maybe at some point I should catch up with that.
Cary Grant's daughter, Jennifer, said she never had any hint of him being flirtatious with men. Wait a minute. I'm not finished. He was married 5 times. She said perhaps earlier in his life, he did have an affair with a man. I'll never know. But if he did, fantastic. I hope he enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, as someone said,
he's promoting a new drama series about Cary's life called Archie, which is Grant's real first name.
Watch the Rock Hudson documentary on HBO. That's something that tells the truth.
Yes, it is.
And I've been watching Chris Cooper's birding series.
Oh, yes.
It's really terrific. I particularly watched the Washington, D.C. episode I just saw.
And the Hawaii episode.
Yeah, well, they're all good, and it's fun to see him. But next week, you will see from the archives of Dyke TV a lot of hilarious, serious, prescient video from 30 years ago, along with an interview with two of the co-creators, Mary Paterno and Linda Chapman. I am really looking forward to doing that.
I will be tuning in, and I will miss you.
Oh, well, you'll be having fun, so you go do that and come back, and we'll be here.
Bye-bye.